This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruin sports. I am your host,
Little Ham says it's time to rock and roll.
We have a lot to do.
We do.
I don't know if we're going to get through it all, but we have a lot to do.
We do. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Listen, this is the What's Brewing Show. It's part of the What's Brewing Network, WBS Network, but What's Brewing. You can reach us on Twitter at What's Brewing Show. You can reach the B Team. I just listened to their podcast.
I think it's
got to
be the What's Brewing Show Network, because when I copyright it, I don't think we can get WB. I don't think we can get the WB.
You haven't copywritten this yet?
No.
Jake, you got to do it. But there's a lot of people out there. Now we just screwed ourselves.
By the benefit of us doing this for the last 10 years, it's kind of its own. That's why when I researched it, it was like, we've already been using the name for this long, yada, 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 yada. We kind of have a built-in copyright. And I'm waiting for that's one of the things that you're...
Mike's getting naked! Woo!
Support during the symposium is going to go towards at some point.
Yeah. Got it.
That sounds like...
thank you, all our loyal listeners and patrons.
That sounds like people, when they live together, they're married, not by law, but married just because they live together.
There's any lawyers out there that want to give us legal advice about that, by all means, shipping it.
Well, heck yeah. Listen, I was listening to the B-Teams podcast. I disagreed. Thank you for the podcast. It entertained me on the way home, but I disagreed with a lot of it. But
what an asshole.
No, but I said, no, it's entertaining, but I disagreed with it.
I agree with you, Hannah. I agree with you, Everhart.
Listen, you wanna agree with them or disagree with them, go ahead and reach them at UCLA B Team. Is their Twitter handle?
Yep, you got it, Nate.
It's been a solid 28 hours
Hannah.
Or so.
You must not know about me. Nathan. You must not know about me.
There it goes. There it is. Listen, and you can go ahead and listen to these two guys here. When I say these two guys, Jake and Jamal, at WB West Coast Bias.
West Coast Bias.
Oh, that's a new one.
You're just all about the West Coast bias. You don't like the East Coast.
That's us.
Truesies.
That's us.
Very true. Very true. Listen, get some stickers from Jake, whatsbrewinshow@gmail.com, and find these guys on Instagram at whatsbrewinshow. You can call us. I believe we have some calls this week because we have it on the rundown here. We have a couple calls, maybe more. Do we have a call from anyone from Rain or Troy by chance?
We do. It's funny you ask. We do, but I was told not to play it.
Oh, dear God.
So okay. We won't. But Fair we will get an appearance from Rain of Troy this week.
Good. Very good. Very good. So listen, to call, vent, and to cheer the
I'm
wins.
I'm actually co-hosting Rain of Troy this week.
Well, that's funny. That's nice that we all could get together. Oh, wait, we didn't. Well, thank you, Rain of Troy.
They don't like you guys.
I can actually see that.
It's got two thumbs and is liked by Rain of Troy.
And this has guy. A hood on. Jake. All right.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I just want to put it. All right. So listen, you can call. You can call us at 805-399-4WBS.
Suck it, Rain of Troy.
No, really, suck it. We used to have fun having these like joint things every year. Now that we don't even see them anymore.
Penguin of Troy is actually out of town right now with her family on some sort of tasting adventure in Chicago. And Michael Castillo chose not to go because he has the taste of a 5-year-old.
In Rivalry Week? She chose to go to Chicago.
I think she thought Rivalry Week was not this week when she booked it, and then she said, oh shit, that's Rivalry Week, but it was already done.
Yeah.
Thanks, Oscar.
Okay, so she's out of town. So
and by
it's
the way,
not...
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Now I can
bring you back a Chicago dog.
Right? There's a Chicago dog place in
Burbank.
West Hills.
The one in Burbank used to be owned by...
the actor. Oh, God, what's his name? Italian guy.
Joey Zaza.
Yes, 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 yes. That was a good one.
I can't think of his name.
Crap. I can't think of his name either. All I keep
thick,
picturing
thick eyebrows,
him in the super fans.
Taste of Italy or Taste,
yeah,
of,
yeah, Taste of Italy. Yeah, yeah. He used to have like Bears games there. Gosh, darn it. Yeah. I can't remember his name. Joe Mantegna.
Joe Mantegna.
There we go. Is it still owned by him?
No, or? I think they closed it, but not because of
freaking
COVID.
Freaking Burbank
or anything,
and their stupid COVID regulations.
Not because of COVID. It closed before then.
Freaking Burbank.
Stupid Burbank.
Stupid
Burbank.
Because you know how I know it closed before? Because there was no, when the Cubs were in the World Series, there was no like. Live from Joe Mantegna's place for the
Yeah,
because they would always have sporting event stuff there. Like when
they burned bright briefly.
Yeah,
it was good. I went there. It was good.
Yeah,
I had a good time. Guys, That's enough of the intro. Let's get to the bro affiliated headlines with M-I-K-E. Bro.
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 Before I get into the bro-affiliated headlines, I wanted to give a quick memoriam shout out to a one Dave Davis, who unfortunately passed away this past Sunday. Huge UCLA fan, big on the Twitter.
Tailgate.
Was part of the tailgate with our homies Jerry and Angel and Boricua. I at the beginning of the season, I told the story of a Bruin fan that helped me out, give me a jump during spring practice.
Nice.
It was Dave.
Cool.
But yeah, he unfortunately, like, just suddenly passed away. I mean, you know, dude's tweeting Sunday morning, and then you read midday that his son is saying that his dad,
oh my gosh,
unfortunately passed away. Yeah, it's pretty tragic. You know, I met him a few times, and I chatted with a few people that knew him, you know, a bit closer. Just weird. Just kind of like, it kind of put us in shock, you know, a little bit. I mean, I just saw the guy like a few weeks ago at a tailgate. But I just wanted to give a shout out to him and say that, you know, we put, there's a GoFundMe for the family to help out with any expenses. If you have the means to do so, you can check that out on our feed, the What's Brewing Show Twitter account. I put the link up there, and yeah, just wanted to give a special shout out to him and, you know, just a, you know, quick moment of silence for Mr. Davis.
You will be missed.
Yes. He was a fan. He was a fan of the show too, and he was a he was a guy that did that wasn't happy with Chip Kelly, but he was one of those level-headed guys. So you know, he was always a good chat. But yeah, definitely going to you know, miss chatting with that guy. Well, on to the thing that you know, we do at this part of the show, the bro-affiliated headlines.
Bro.
It was a packed week. It was the first week of the football basketball crossover. We have men's basketball, women's basketball. I started doing, it just hit me late in the week to do the weekly basketball review. You know, I did that a few times in the last few seasons, but just to give extra content, like Jake doing the post-game football games, wanted to give an update, you know, weekly, you know, more in-depth. Obviously, we'll talk about what we talk here, but what we talk about brings on more conversation than actual me just spitting facts. So, yeah, I figured be doing that, you know, every weekend recapping, some basketball games. But we'll get into basketball shortly. UCLA defeats Colorado. We're going to get into that. Bad first half, much better second half. But on Monday, just 2 days after we talked to Chip Kelly, a report comes out in The Athletic Chip Kelly
wild
a wild card for the Washington head coaching position, which just opened up this weekend because Jimmy Lake was let go.
I thought I had a drop. I didn't. So.
Oh, it's okay. Okay. I was waiting for you. You're flapping your hands.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, sorry.
Just
keep going.
And Chip Kelly, seemingly, you know, when he was asked this question, more ornery than usual.
You know, though, based on all the shit that's being written about him right now, I think justifiably so. I love the little thing he said to Ben, which was, do you have it? Basically, you're trying to get me fired anyway, so, you know,
yeah,
thanks for your support.
So thanks for being on my side. Whatever, yeah, bro. It was just these coaching interviews, these press conferences are getting, like, I'm
more and more chippy.
Yes, and I'm getting so much more excited. And it's weird because I do want to ask about day-to-day football stuff, which I do have my questions there, but at the same time, I was like, okay, yeah, quickly answer my question. Who's got a next hot question? Because I got to hear this. I want to get this on film. Thank you. So it's interesting at practice lately. Okay. Yeah, so, and we were talking about it beforehand. There are so many coaching positions opening. Whether Chip stays or goes, if he goes, it will be trouble. If he stays, it will be double. The Clash, thank you very much.
God damn it. I am bigger board.
There's just, it's going to be a wild offseason with all the coaching carousel. So it's nobody has any idea what's happening on that front right now. But there is a game happening, and one headline that came out of USC's camp, which we reported on 24/7 Sports, Jackson Dart gets the start over Keaton Slovis. What do you guys think? Do you care? I think it's the same thing.
When did that come out?
Monday. Today?
Wasn't it today?
Maybe today, Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Dart is, and I'm sure they're going to continue with their year in, year out, you know, cycling them both in. Because, you know, they're kind of both plug and play with that offense. You know, I don't think it really matters that much, you know, unless one of them gets hot or really exploits their skills or exploits UCLA's defense, you know, whatever it is. The UCLA has to be ready. So, yeah, that's one big, you know, talking point.
Well, without Drake London, does it really matter?
There you go. It's another one. What else? Practice report, quick practice report. Anything you guys want to know?
Yeah, what's up with Anderson?
He's still out. He's dressed, but he's going through walkthroughs. He's not going through contact drills. Daytona Jackson, starting defensive lineman, he's just on the side. He's not even with a helmet. He's just in t-shirt and a shorts and shorts, not participating at all, not even going through walkthroughs.
So he's done for the season?
Not sure.
Was DTR's hand all bandaged up again, or
are they having
to be less protective after
way less protective? I mean, he looks like normal again. I mean, he's just like whipping balls around, and I kind of knew it too. I saw him before the Colorado game, and I was like, oh wow, he's really throwing that sucker around. And same thing, he's just he's throwing rockets to his receiver.
So Anderson's not ruled out for the next game, but he's still hurt, or he is ruled out for the next game?
He's not ruled out. He's
not that they ever would tell
available.
Us anyway.
Yeah, yes, okay. Exactly.
So game time decision, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we'll know when he's on the field playing.
And that's it. And, you know, the bye week, thank God, helped out, helped to get a lot of Bruins healthy. So there really aren't that many that we're seeing on the sidelines of the weight room. I mean, obviously.
That's always sad to see, you know, the freshmen start, you know, coming out of the bye, but.
Yeah,
they played well on.
But at the same time, you still have Morazzo, who's out. Yeah. Two other guys. Somerville, he's been hurt all season long, but he's finally dressing. I don't think he's going to get time this season, especially enough to garner, you know, playing time. Just because he's just so far behind getting rehabilitated, and there are, you know, obviously guys in front of him. So it looked, you know. Did you guys get a feeling that, especially after the basketball game, the win over Villanova, you're like, oh, crap, we still have football, don't we? I felt that the whole time.
Well, you cover it, so I'm assuming you felt that way.
Yeah, it was just weird. Like, going into the Rose Bowl, I'm like, I kind of feel like just kind of like going through the motions, you know? Especially after that first half. But then they had the second half, and everyone seemed to wake up a little bit. So.
I was drunk, so I have no memory. I watched the Colorado game today. So
nice. All right,
I did watch the Villanova game live. That was fun.
Nice. Basketball. Well, let's segue to that.
I do have a memory of it. I was gonna say I was not blackout drunk, but I was drunk enough where I didn't really care at the moment.
You're browned out, not blacked out. It's not as bad. it's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
If you'd finished the damn series,
I'm close. We're on season 4.
Dude, I just saw there's a new season.
There are 12 seasons.
I know. Time goes slow. Everything.
Yeah.
Well, I should have to watch.
Number 2, UCLA defeats Villanova.
Thanks, Charlie.
In, wait, who? That was Mac that actually said that.
Okay.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Mac.
You got to watch this.
Like a Charlie thing.
Crazy vibe. I hadn't seen it like that. I haven't felt Pauley Pavilion like that since maybe the reopening of Pauley Pavilion. You know, when they had Flea do the.
I was there that game.
Me too. Yeah. So, talk about how energetic it was. I meant
the Flea game. Let me just rephrase.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
The Pauley reopening. Just the vibe.
The vibe was crazy.
Fireworks, whatever.
It was packed to the brim.
Yeah. Same thing here.
It was Shabazz Muhammad there, and he had like a free Shabazz shirt on.
That's right.
Yeah. It was. I remember. You guys remember Shabazz Muhammad? Remember that?
Barely.
Yeah. I know. But that was that game, and it was rocking. Too bad I think we won, but it was a boring ass game.
Yeah. It was towards the end. I think it was the last or second last season of the Hallen tenure.
Yeah. But it was rocking in there, and so yeah. I couldn't imagine Mike being in Pauley again and seeing it like that. It's been some years
top
of
five
just
matchup.
Yeah.
Exactly. That
top
was
top five matches at 8:30 p.m.
That was just a weird
the
thing.
Dumbest
that was very
thing in the world.
And they do have to and
worked out for me.
And Ben Bolch wrote about how some of the students were getting crushed in the lines outside, so they had to, you know, organize that a little bit better. But yeah, someone sent me a picture 5 minutes before tip-off, they were in line past the Bruin Bear in like by the UCLA store trying to get into Poly.
Yeah, right.
And it was all because of the vaccine card stuff. So yeah, Martin Germain said that he's going to fix that ASAP.
This is a little better for the next game, but
for Monday's game.
Not as big of a crush to get in.
Definitely not as a crowd either. So there's all this stuff that you have to figure out in the moment. UCLA
beats
Nova.
By the way, just real quick, went to Staples and it took me forever to get in because they're all effed up, just like Paul Bowling was. Went to Allegiant Stadium with 60,000 people, and it couldn't have been an easier experience. Now, I did go to Staples last night, and it was much better, but that's because I was there an hour and a half early, so I have no idea. It was a freaking zoo the first time I went. I don't know what Jamal's experience was, but it's like, stay hot, California.
Yeah, I was going to say,
stay hot, LA.
They must have figured it out by the time I went because we were there about 25 minutes before Jump Ball and
that is good because we got there about the same time and we missed the whole first quarter.
Oh no!
I was so pissed.
No, we were able to get in faster. So
anywho,
So then UCLA beats, and we'll get into the specifics quickly, but they beat.
We're gonna have a whole basketball
Long Beach
segment,
State.
So.
I just want to get your thoughts on this really quickly. Just Cronin was pissed. They win by 21 points, and he's pissed. And the one quote I took from it is where he said, "I need some leadership." And accountability.
I like the one about the sneakers. If I put some sneakers on, I could have scored out there.
Yeah, that was a different game. But in happier news, UCLA remains the number two team. Obviously, they beat number four. They're not going to go down. So that is it for men's basketball. Now, quick segment on the women's in Nancy's basketball segment.
Women's.
The Bruins also retained their spot in the AP Top 25 at number 20. They didn't move up, even though they got the win over Pepperdine. And that was a interesting game because obviously... let me backtrack really quick to men's basketball. We all know that Will McClendon is out, Mac Etienne is out, and obviously Cody Riley is out, and he's going to be out for a few weeks. So, he looks like he's walking with a small limp. But he doesn't appear to have a brace on it. And you know all these kids wearing the tighter kind of sweatpants and all that. So I couldn't see anything, like underneath or,
these damn kids with their skinny jeans.
Yeah, hipsters. Yeah. For the women, Gina Conti, point guard who was supposed to start, she's out for a few weeks. She had surgery. The Oregon transfer, Angela Duglich, she's out for a few weeks with a knee injury. Emily Bessoir, she has an ACL, so she's done for the year. So the Bruins, even though they're stacked, they're down three players. And so I go to the game, and there's still like a seven-person rotation, which is weird because it seemed like there were three players that didn't get time, especially Bryn Maskowicz, who is 6'3", I believe. So she's going to be one of their post players. The Bruins were just down to Izzy Anstey as their one, true... five spot player, but transfer Amari Thomas, the one of only two players in Cincinnati Bearcat basketball history to score 50 points. The other Oscar Robertson,
Maza.
She basically saved them in the first half. I think she had 18 points, and then the rest of the Bruins started attacking in the second half. Bruins get the win. They started the second half with like a 11-0 run, kept Pepperdine at bay. Wasn't the greatest. Corey Close was pretty pissed off at the end of that game, too. She was talking about accountability with her players. But still, all wins for the major Bruin sports last week. I went to four out of four games in 5 days. Bruins won in every single one.
All they do is win.
All they do is win so far.
For this week.
Keep it that way. So that's it. That's what I have for the bro-affiliated headlines.
And Nancy's women's basketball segment. Okay, good. Bro.
Do you think we drink too much?
No, we don't drink too much. Men face reality, women don't. That's why men need to drink.
And of course, it is the What's Bruin Symposium, a conversation over drinks. Yeah, that's what the What's Bruin Show is, really. And that's why we dubbed it the What's Bruin Symposium. And tonight, we're sitting here with a cocktail that I whipped up. I stole it from the Park MGM where I spent my weekend at their Italian market. One of my favorite places in Las Vegas is that Italian market that's in front of the very front part of Park MGM. It's fantastic. A lot of great restaurants at Park MGM. I think I went to like three of them this weekend because Colby was buying. That was awesome. So I ate some Korean food and some noodles and whatever. But my favorite place was that one of the little stands out in front, and I had multiple what we call fallen Italies. And this is a cocktail that's based on, you know, it's got some bourbon in there. It's got some lemon juice. It's got some Cynar. That's the Italian part. And it's also got some apricot Luxardo, which is really, really terrific. And I just love this cocktail. Jamal, what'd you think of it?
Oh, I like it. I like it. It's nice and citrusy. The Cynar makes it... reminds me of like a Negroni because it's an aperitivo similar to Campari or Aperol. But I like it. I really do. It's nice and citrusy. It goes down smooth. Good choice, Jake.
Definitely go to that place when next time you're in Vegas. And there's like five stands and they all have good bars and they're all like Italian themed. So you're going to get your Negronis, you're going to get your Aperol Spritz, all those things. Billy Boy, I poured you a Japanese whiskey that you got me from Trader Joe's. I don't know where the bottle is.
Yeah, but I can't pronounce it, but it's a darn good whiskey. I found it. When did I get it? I got it. I forgot when I got it for.
I was barbecuing.
Yeah, what the hell? It's good. It's good. It is refreshing. It's light and it's not an Irish whiskey, of course, but it's not
a very light colored whiskey.
Yeah, it's very light and refreshing, and it's just a nice flavor to it. So I'm excited, and this is not sweet. And this is the first time you poured me something.
I'm never making another cocktail. Just FYI,
eight shows that's not sweet.
F you, mother effer. But.
But it's
Mikey,
good.
You have a really cool looking beer with a bear on it.
Yeah, I've brought this beer to the party many times. A paperback out of Glendale. Mm. I've quite liked their beers. I started off with the One Night with Nora. Had that very saucy label with a lady. You see the back of her pantyhose and her heels while some dude is passed out in a tub. Mm. Well, this one... A little bit more holiday-ish, still from paperback. I have Golden State Oktoberfest Bier, and it's spelled the German beer, B-I-E-R. And it caught my eye because I wanted to do something for the Crosstown Showdown, something LA-based. So I wanted to get some Firestone. Couldn't find it, but then I saw this guy, and it sealed the deal that there were two bears on the can right here.
Go Bruins!
And for the label to say Golden State, it was just perfect for me. It is kind of like red and yellow, like USC, but they do have bears like UCLA. So I was like, ooh, this
perfect
is definitely
beer for this week.
Exactly, 5.7% alcohol, one pint. Let's give it a go. Let's.
Very nice, Mike.
A little bit sharper than a Pilsner, but not it doesn't overdo it with the aftertaste. I quite enjoy it. So check out the Paperback Brewing out of Glendale, and if you can, get yourself some Golden State Oktoberfest Bier.
I like it. Good job. And of course, the symposium is brought to you by our Patreon feed. We appreciate all of your support. You know, whether you've been a subscriber for just a couple months or you've been here since the beginning, we appreciate your sending the What's Brewing Show into the future with your how much a month donation there, Mikey?
I want my $2.
Or more, whatever you want to donate. You know, good old Dez donated more. Now he's donating a little bit less. You know, it's awesome. You're good, Dez. We love you. And we want to thank you for your generous support. And everybody else out there, for just $2 a month, you can help the What's Brewing Show support itself, right? So we don't have to read ads about ball shavers and whatnot. we can keep our pride and our dignity and embarrass ourselves doing other things.
There's nothing wrong with shaving your balls.
No, but I don't want to advertise said
so trimmers. So I've heard.
Yeah. Or, you know, little blue pills or whatever. You know, we don't have to advertise any of those things. And that's because you support us and you allow us to be a nice little independent, little. I wouldn't call us a pirate ship, but we're like a little dinghy out there on the waters of great sports talk.
We're more than a dinghy. We're a four-passenger, mini, small-engine speedboat.
Okay. Like one of those Miami Vice, we're smuggling drugs across the
sure.
Okay, no, those are
boats.
Amazing. Those have four freaking outboard motors in the back just blasting across the Gulf. Those are
I'm okay with that.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. But now we need the music.
We'll be that.
And we need the fluorescent shirts.
And we're in our own little pond.
Well, and we drink.
We only go in circles?
We drink like those guys. We're cool. We're cool. We're hip, right? Cool. So, What's Brewing Show, patreon.com/What's Brewing Show or whatsbrewingshow.com. We appreciate your support. For how much bucks, Mike?
$2.
And that's it. So let's get on with the rest of the show. Oh, and cheers to you guys.
Cheers. Cheers, Mike.
All right, so Mike said in the headlines, but East LA Sports has had a pretty good last, you know, 5, 6, 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was the beginning of the UCLA men's basketball season, along with the ladies as well. But, you know, my motto for the show is always this.
I would like to avoid the basketball shows for as long as possible.
But it looks like it's no longer possible because now we have a team in the top five, in the top two.
Top two. Get five.
Top five. What are you talking about, Jake?
Top two, maybe should be top one.
However top you want to say it. You know, they're almost on top right now. They'll have a chance to be the number one team in a few days here. But before we get to that, let's get to the games that were. And that is a couple of nice That's a couple of nice UCLA victories.
The game that were.
So we talked about the exhibition game, and then we were kind of live talking about the win versus San Bernardino. Was it San Bernardino? Who was it? San Bernardino?
Chico State.
Chico Riverside? State.
No, that was the ex.
No, no.
Why can't I?
We saw UC Riverside.
No, Bakersfield, the Roadrunners. Oh,
Bakersfield.
Yes.
That's
yes, there you go.
Okay,
you
yeah. So then, since then, you know, we mentioned on the headlines, but the Bruins.
Also, let me I want to interrupt really quickly. Go Highlanders. How about that shot, right?
That was great, yeah.
Let's go Riverside, wow. Jake. I saw one person post.
There can only be one.
I literally just now knew that Riverside had a bear as their logo, and it had the Scottish kilt on it. Yeah. I've always liked that logo for that reason.
That's anyway, right,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I figured Riverside, you know, the motherland, got to throw it in. So anyway,
me and Bill are all about that.
You Bakersfield, go.
So UCLA beat Bakersfield. We talked about that a little bit last week. But so then they had this top five matchup versus Villanova. They defeat Villanova, number four, 86-77. And they follow that up with a great second half against my other alma mater, the Long Beach 49ers.
The beach.
Just the beach. Not the, it's not the baseball
not the 49ers.
Team,
they're literally called the Long Beach State Beach.
Hey, why not?
Why can't they just be the 49ers?
Why can't they be the Dirtbags?
Because that's the baseball team.
Wait.
Why can't they just be the 49ers? Because it's racist.
They changed the name.
Even though it doesn't refer to the 1849ers, it refers to the 1949ers. The bastards have founded them. But whatever. I don't want to get on this topic. Anyways, the Bruins are 3-0.
La Playa.
Plus one on that exhibition season. You guys, Mike was there in the building. He talked about how electric it was.
Yeah.
You know? Against Villanova, was some peaks and valleys during that game, but the Bruins end up, you know, the biggest lead in this game was what, like, you know, maybe
Villanova
7-8 points, right?
Had a 10-point lead 7 minutes to go, I believe.
Yeah, and then
Bruins,
it gets,
I think, had a 9-point lead at the most in the first half, something like that, yeah.
And they take it in overtime, the whole 9 yards, so what did we think of this game, guys?
My takeaway... Just real quick, and I want to make sure I am not dogging anyone on the team. Not dogging. I'm just saying, compared to the hype I heard about around this player, I was a little underwhelmed. And I'm going to say that I chose my word, my adjective very carefully. I didn't want to say anything that's too negative about Miles Johnson. I heard a lot of buzz about this guy is going to be a beast. He has long arms. He's just going to be just a dominant inside player. In the two games that I've seen him play, Villanova and Long Beach State, it just seemed a little underwhelming. I'm looking at the stats here. He has 3.7 total rebounds for those two games. He has, I think, two block shots. There are a lot of other players who are not much smaller than, but 3-4 inches smaller than him that got much more rebounds than he did. Okay. So what do I say about that? I'm underwhelmed. Not his fault, though. Why? Because it was just all the media buzz about him. Where do I think he's going to end up? I think he's going to end up even, you know, being what that early buzz was about. Why? Because of the coaching. The coaching at UCLA is phenomenal, and they'll get him to where he needs to be. And I like those horns, Mike. Thank you. Play those
horns.
That
wasn't me.
Was
that you, Jake?
It was inaudible. It's just something that's on the that we can hear, but it's not on the track.
Okay. But that's all I... So overall, I mean, everyone's going to give all these, oh, the team was this and this and that. I was really looking forward to, after listening to David Woods and Tracy talk about how amazingly dominant this guy was going to be.
I'm a bomb-throwing anarchist.
Though. I really thought like this guy was going to dominate inside. And guys, it seemed like Jalen Clark was more of a dominant guy for the first two games in these two matchups. Just to be fair to him, it's only two matchups. But it just seemed like it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I'm looking forward to the future because I know he'll get better.
I want to thank you, Bill, for starting our just general thoughts on the game with your attack on Miles Johnson. But let's just go with that. Let's just go with that.
Hashtag Bill's a dick.
But I said it, right? Guys?
I think you qualified it well enough, right?
Yeah.
I saw him in the Chico State game. I thought he looked pretty good. But then again, that's Chico State, right? Yeah. And then you're right. I mean, the stats have been underwhelming. Right, we are slightly less whelmed on Miles Johnson so far, but I do want to see what he can do. You know, that's more of a game that will be sort of thing when he's actually matched up against somebody that's a big dude.
Yeah,
but
let's
see, Bill. I think that's absolutely fair. Do you think any of this is also what's jumped out to me at these Bruins so far is they got a lot of dudes that can play, and there's going to be guys there's going to be opportunities for guys to make big plays throughout the season, and. You know, there's obviously the guys that are always there doing their thing, probably Juzang and Triple J. And then there's going to be other guys that chip in kind of. You know, I think Tiger's going to be under the radar, but always being consistent. And then after those three, it's kind of like, who's going to be the guy that's got the hot hand, the big thing, who's going to be doing all the big things, right? And I guess on occasion that could be Jules. It could be Miles Johnson, theoretically.
Singleton, the last
Singleton,
game.
Right? You know, who's it going to be? You know, I don't know. What do you guys think about Bill's thoughts on Johnson?
Well, I'm just going to steal from the B team and Michael Hyman's analysis. Villanova is one of those five out teams. So basically, what can, on defense, if Miles Johnson is supposed to play in the interior, why are you going to have him come out and try to defend guys on the perimeter and things like that? And if they're shooting hot, which they did, and same thing with Long Beach State. If they're shooting hot, which they did.
Oh, my God, those guards.
Yeah.
They were like
the guy with the long Maxi Priest dreads.
Weren't they like 70 for like 75, yes. Right?
So you had two games where the opposition is just shooting everything from the outside. So
I have this on a playlist.
And they're small, and they're smaller teams. There's not really, you're not going to see Miles Johnson have the kind of impact that you would want him to have. But I will point out that against Villanova, when they were down, I believe they were down by 10 or maybe it was 7, he helped them quickly get the lead back because he made a block shot. Tiger Campbell gets
two
it.
Two block shots.
Yeah, Tiger Campbell gets it, hits a three, and then the opposition misses, and he gets a rebound, and then Tiger Campbell hits his second consecutive three. So there were points there where he was contributing, but I like what Jake said. There are just going to be moments where when the game fits, they're going to I think Miles Johnson is going to come up with what the expectation is, but it just won't be every game.
And I will say that he's, you know, he's only averaging 23 minutes a game. I don't know where that is on the totem pole for how many minutes, you know, who's leading the team in minutes, but he's shooting 60%, which is very, very good. So when he is actually shooting the ball,
but
it's going
down.
How
many shots does he actually have?
Not very many. That's the problem,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But the rebounding thing, I could definitely see why
right.
We'd be underwhelmed with that. He's averaging a couple blocks a game though. That's pretty good.
That's what you want.
You want a couple blocks.
That's how he got on the Big Ten all defense team because he was blocking shots at Rutgers.
I'm not poo pooing. I'm just saying the hype train that was coming before him. I was looking for just that. Those two just didn't match up. He will get there. I agree with Jamal. I think when the matchup's there, I'm hopeful for that. I am hopeful to see that perfect matchup where he just takes over a game. I'm hopeful.
Well, here are a few things. First off, show you the things you want me to. Secondly. The thing with
Maxi Priest, guys, come on, a '90s hit.
It's weird. The reason I got into that reminded me of Maxi Priest is there's this other song by this band called "She Wants Revenge" that does a similar song with the same beat.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. I'll play it for you later. The thing is, the Villanova and Cal State Bakersfield were a smaller team. you know, and they were quicker too.
Sure.
And that's why I think, and that's why Jalen Clark does fit into that scheme more, because he's not as big, he's not as long, but he's quicker. He definitely has some crazy defensive prowess. So that's why he works for matchup wise. But I think when UCLA does go against guys that have big bodies, big post guys, that's going to help him out a lot. And just really quickly, Jake, I'll throw it to you right now. The thing with, and here's another thing about Peyton Watson too. You can tell the guys who were here last year, Peyton Watson having a little bit of a tough time getting assimilated. So is Miles Johnson having a little bit a tough time getting assimilated. Cody Riley, the little bit that we did see from him, he looked like Cody Riley. He knew what to do, what to expect. So I think that is a bit of a problem. Not a problem.
It's not a problem. It's just they're going to have to grow
holding
into it.
There you go. They have to grow into that. Jake.
And they will.
Oh, and I was just going to say.
Really quickly, you brought up Triple J. You mean the Hawk?
Ah!
That's my Hawk. There you go.
I think we need to get an actual Hawk.
Yeah, we need a proper Hawk.
That was the Crow.
Dude, we should rent a Hawk every week.
There's plenty that just fly around the valley.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
Same by me.
Can we catch one
and just have it just walk into the Poly Pavilion with the Hawk?
I don't think so.
Awesome. At least get a microphone drop of it. Anyway,
what
I'm just saying.
I was saying, just to kind of, like I said, kind of support both sides of this argument, is number one, I'm curious, even with Riley out, and you know how many minutes Miles Johnson's going to eat up. While he's the only, you know, he's the only, yeah, Nuba there too. But against Villanova, he played 36 minutes. And in the other two games, he played, you know, 14 or 15. And those are the games that Clark got a lot more run in, were those games. Clark only played like, you know, 14, 15 minutes in the Villanova game. So, you know, at least we know what the coach is going for, you know, in that really big matchup. That's who he trusted. I'm curious to see how it's going to be against Gonzaga. Now, maybe he didn't give the production that we would expect from him. But like I said, there's reasons to explain that away, especially with Villanova, as Jamal pointed out, with it not being, you know, with them playing five out and all that stuff.
Sure.
Like, that's understandable, but he was still there and he was a presence that had to be dealt with. And he played the most minutes in that game, playing lesser minutes in other games. But Bill, I think it's a very fair
argument. And it's not even his fault. It was the hype train before, man. It wasn't like he was hyping himself up.
And it is only game three, you know, plus the exhibition. Yeah,
take solace in the fact that he's an engineering, and he's smart enough to know what he has to do, especially in Cronin's system. Cronin's going to let him know what he has to do. And, you know, there's a reason Cronin called him. And just to see what Cronin can do with other coaches, players, I think he'll be fine.
I'm a sucker for the big guy, so he's going to have a very long leash in my book as far as it goes. But I would, you know, when you got the big man out there, even if they're not scoring or not taking shots, I definitely want him blocking shots and getting rebounds. And he's done the one, but not quite done the other. But, you know, like I said, we're game three. So there's a lot of bright things to talk about with this
team
for sure. So, you know, overall, like the Villanova game, the first top five matchup in Poly in like, you know, 20, 25 years or whatever. What'd you guys think of that win for Cronin's Bruins?
It was great.
Their title.
I thought it was not only exhilarating, but a huge sigh of relief to get a win of that magnitude, because basketball really hasn't had that. Maybe the Kentucky...
that was a good game.
The Kentucky games, it's just so weird that Steve Alford was 4-1 against Calipari in the time he was a Bruin coach. But even so, you get those wins, but the rest of the season is just a letdown.
Those are the exception of the rule.
Yeah, and we know that this is not going to be a letdown because just with football and basketball, to have that kind of huge win at Poly. Big, they were publicizing it all over the place like they've done with football. It was just great to have that moment of, wow, they're back. Like, this is legitimate basketball that everyone can get behind. And like I said, it was a sigh of relief. It was kind of like when General Akbar took that deep breath after the Death Star was destroyed. Yeah, mm-hmm. I went there. I went Star Wars. But that was it. It's like everyone's celebrating, but it was just like, ugh. Thank you. We're on a good path. This is something that we can all get behind.
I think it does also take a lot of the pressure off of the Bruins going to the Gonzaga matchup, because if they lose that Villanova game, and then all of a sudden they're going to the Gonzaga matchup where they're not going to be expected to win. Now, they might win. They very well could win, But if they lose that game, now they're not like for the next, you know, 3 weeks, the Bruins aren't 0-2 versus top 25 teams, yada, yada, yada. Their non-con now is a success. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. They now have the ability to, even if they drop the game against the Zags, as long as they don't get like curb stomped, hopefully they won't. This non-con is already looking pretty good. Right. And they have a big major victory. The conference has a big major victory that won over Villanova. And so that just kind of like puts them on a proper footing. If they would have lost that game, then everybody's, you know, all the people that are like, I can't believe how overrated UCLA is just because they had a big hot tourney run, but they sucked last year. They're an 11 seed. They're in the play-in game. Blah, 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 blah. This like
no, they look good.
Gets rid of all of that.
Yeah.
I think
at least
you know.
Agreed.
Until they now have a buffer where they could drop a game, you know, against Gonzaga.
If they could
drop a game going through the non-con, and it's like they still have the benefit of the doubt now.
I mean, as long as they don't get blown out by Gonzaga.
No,
if they do, because Gonzaga, I mean, might be like last year where they're just at least until the tournament, they're like a cut above everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, you could get blown up by Gonzaga and still, I think, you know, be okay in the eyes of everybody else. It'd be great if they didn't. You know,
their defense alone won't let them do that. But it's
the win proves something.
It does, and they do. You know, I'm okay with them losing. I agree with Tracy Pearson on this one. With one of his broadcasts, he talked about just having a couple losses just to humble them before, you know, you get into the tournament. It's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
They don't need to go undefeated.
No, they don't. There's a lot of pressure.
It's not
going
football.
Yeah, it is not. That's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
But you'd rather the undefeated go away, like, you know,
to Gonzaga? Are you kidding me? I would love that.
Or even if they beat Gonzaga, right? I think I'd rather them take it like, if they play a close game or play a competitive game as Gonzaga and they lose, there's no shame in that whatsoever. But let's say they beat Gonzaga. And let's say if they beat Gonzaga, then they run through the non-con undefeated or whatever. Still, when you get to the Pac-12 play, I think all of us would prefer they take an L, you know, on the road and, you know, at Oregon or
something.
Or, you know, they lose a game. Let's not lose a game to SC, but they lose a game or two in the Pac-12 and we're all going to be like, totally cool.
Yeah.
You know, because then you don't have that pressure going into the tournament of being the undefeated team and all that stuff. I think that's all fair.
I would just like to say that what this game showed was that UCLA is ready for prime time. Not just
certainly.
Yes.
Not just,
and it wasn't prime time.
Yeah, and it wasn't prime time for some of us.
late prime time for us.
Yeah.
On West Coast.
You know,
prime time
and that's
in Hawaii.
And that's, and like Mike said, you want that for the program to show that they're back. And also, you know, the way they came back from being down 10 and basically boat raced Villanova the rest of the way, even though it had to go into overtime.
Yeah.
But don't go in overtime with this team because they're so resilient. And once they get there, they're not trying to get the last shot. They're trying to blow you out of the water.
They're used to overtime.
Yeah, they're used to it. But they have that sort of resiliency, and I think it comes from the culture that Mick Cronin has created in just a few short years. And I think I'm really hoping that I tweeted this out during the game. I'm really hoping that this is the big hire where Mick Cronin is that coach that sticks around for a while because of all the success that he brings to the program. I'm really hoping that's the case because I'm so impressed by what he's done in such a short time to create this kind of winning culture already.
You know, and in this game, the Bruins, you know, their defense was pretty darn good for most of the game. They hold Villanova to 41% shooting, a lower field goal percentage than their three-point percentage, right? And so that's another thing, Bill, where, you know, maybe Johnson didn't pull down the impressive stats, but somehow the inside of the inside game for the Bruins on defense, that was something that was Villanova didn't have a whole lot going, you know, easy shots, you know, easy twos and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to make some threes just to get their shooting percentage up, which speaks well of them. Now that didn't translate into the next game, but you know, at least in that game they had some good defense going. The Bruins shoot almost 50%, or I'm sorry, they're at 47%, right? And it was just a good game all around. So, I mean, I almost think. Anything else on this game?
Johnny Juzang and Jay Cube were just awesome. They really picked up where they left off last year. Like, they really looked good. Like, they weren't afraid of the moment. In the beginning, there was a little pressing.
Especially late.
Yeah, especially late. I was supposed to say, in the beginning, they were pressing a little bit. But, God, as the second half got along, Johnny just got on fire. And it flowed from that game into the Long Beach State game, too. So, you know, those two wings are just dominant, and you know they deserve all the praise, the preseason hype that they've been talking about. Even Jay Billis, who's been, you know, critical of UCLA in the past, was, you know, just effusive in his praise of those two guys. So it was good to see. It was good to see, and just I love to see it.
The other thing about that game, the free throw shooting was
Yes.
Tremendous.
Yes.
Right?
Disparate.
90% pretty much. And that was very, very necessary.
Which was also weird, too, because they didn't, in the Villanova game, they didn't have a free throw until midway through the second half.
Nope.
Yeah. And then they
didn't
have
one until 3 minutes left in the second half. It took 36 minutes for them to get a free throw.
So I don't want to hear any grousing from the, you know.
Yeah, the Nova fans were morons.
And then every, they went to the foul line quite a bit after that in regulation and in overtime. And they were just, you know, they were nails. Just hit every single one or nearly, you know, 90-something percent. And that, at the beginning, I think it was, I can't recall. I think it was, that was more of a problem at the beginning of the season, but later in the season that did help out with the Bruins. But if you can have 90% free throw shooting, God, that's going to help you so much, especially in really close games.
I can't imagine that's going to be sustainable, but it would be awesome if it was.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other guys that we haven't even really spoken of at all today.
Tiger Campbell.
Tiger and Jules. Unbelievable, right?
Tiger hit a three, guys.
Hit
oh,
several.
My God.
He hit four.
He's hit four threes in the last two games. But that's like four threes all last season.
That game is 2 for 5. That game is 2 for 5. But then he had like a floater kind of late. You know,
he's getting to the free throw. Yeah. He's one of the guys getting the free throw line.
Yeah, he's another guy that late, he turned it on. You know, it seems like the team's starting a bit slow, but they know what to do in crunch time, you know, when it matters, coming out of the break. You talked about Jules Bernard. Where is he coming from? It's awesome to have, you know, everybody expected, you know, Tiger was going to run the point, and you have your two superstars, Jaime and Johnny. Having Jules Bernard do the exact same thing, that's a freaking triple threat right there. That is, you know, who doesn't want that on their team? And especially Jules Bernard, who's not a flashy guy, who, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, he had a quiet 22 points. It was like, I wish I could have a quiet 22 points. That's just, the contribution for that is just excellent. But yeah, we haven't talked about what Mick Cronin said, how he was just pissed, livid. Really interesting that you have a coach who gets mad after a 21-point lead. And I could see it.
Yeah, but you can't give up 58% shooting to a team.
Exactly. You can't let two guys combine for what, over 40 points?
Yes.
Are we transitioning to the Long Beach State game now?
Sorry, I just kind of transitioned.
Thanks, Mike. So yeah, the Bruins end up beating Long Beach State 100-79, but it was much closer than that. You know, it was going into the second half. It was like a 2.4-point game or whatever.
Right.
But when I was, this is one where I desperately wanted to watch most of this and I couldn't get to most of it. So I didn't get to see a lot of this game. But I did take a peek at the box score and I was like, what the mother loving F? When I looked at Murray and Cobb combining.
Yeah.
Not Murray and Cobb. Murray and Slater combining for, let's see, what is that? 23 for 30 57 points.
And how many three-pointers did the team have?
They ended up shooting 7 for 11. So, yeah. But I mean,
but the Slater's
two
move,
guys.
Slater's move was just drive to the basket, and he'd get fouled, and he'd get an and one a couple times, and just go to the free. That's all he'd kept on doing. Which is, I'm not mad at him, but like, can we stop that move, please?
Exactly,
guys?
That's the point, and they couldn't. Like you try to, you could just simply have a guy slide over, you know, and
charge.
You know what, and UCLA actually did that fairly well against Villanova. There were several times where the Villanova guards would drive, and they would their lateral movement was quick enough to not necessarily get in front of them, but to kind of like push them out, not give them a clear path. But there were moments in both games where a guard just slipped by and scored, you know, in the half court, you know, untouched. And that is that stuff that a team like this should not, you know, be giving up, you know, maybe once or twice, but not regularly.
No, and you talk about them getting lit up by those guards, and maybe that's a reason, going back to our previous conversation about Clark and Johnson, in this game, there's probably a reason why Clark played 9 minutes in the first half, and Johnson played, how many did he play? A lot more. First half, geez, where is it? 13. And in the second half, Clark played 15 minutes to Johnson's four.
Four.
So, and that's probably has everything to do with the fact that they were getting just torched
small
by those guards on the inside. And, you know, it was a close game in the first half and it was a blowout in the second. So there you go. Hey, Cronin, adjustments. Great coach. He's awesome. A lot of good players that are also awesome.
He is the man, dude.
So rock on, right? Let's go, Mick Cronin. We love you very much. Now, Well, that being said, let's get to the game that will be, which is the big showdown versus those Zagazags. Gosh. In Vegas. Mikey, are you going?
It's the game that will be.
In Las Vegas.
I it's the game that will be. Not.
In Vegas.
Shut up, Mike.
Will be.
In Vegas.
Really quickly, you have North Florida, then Bellarmine, then Gonzaga.
Well, I have trivia about those, but who cares about those next two games?
That's what I was
other than
say.
This, we have trivia for that.
As long as they don't.
Now it's time for
God
Jake's
damn it!
Trivia.
Shut up, Mike.
By Jake, bringing you all the cool.
I have trivia,
UCLA
and it's only
opponent.
For Jamal and Bill,
and now,
not for Mike.
Jake,
why? Fine, because I probably know it already.
That's probably why you're excluded from this.
Yeah,
you're excluded.
But just to answer your question, I am not going to the multi-team event in Las Vegas on Monday and Tuesday, but I will be there the following Saturday for UNLV.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's cool. Good for you, Mikey. I'm glad. I hope you have a less expensive trip in Vegas than I had. But the Bruins' next game, as Mike said, against the University of Northern Florida.
No, Florida.
Okay. Jamal or Bill, can either one of you tell me for tonight's trivia, part one of it, what is the mascot of the North Florida school?
Pelicans.
Oh my God, so close.
Was I really?
God, you're so close.
Oh, if it's not a pelican, there must be a flamingo?
No, but
crane.
Less close.
Crane.
An osprey.
Osprey. Osprey. Oh, that's...
Bill!
I know.
I'm
osprey.
Effing,
wow.
I'm just flabbergasted. I'm so proud of you right now.
Dumb.
Bill, you can eat a pita chip on air right now. Crunch it loudly. Just because I'm so pleased with that effort.
Which is kind of dumb because the University of Miami, even though they're the Hurricanes, their mascot is a freaking osprey.
Yeah.
So it's
Miami?
Yes.
I thought it was a crane.
No, it's an osprey. They're,
really?
Yeah, he's like Otto the Osprey or whatever his name is.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're digressing, but
right.
Yeah, you're right, Jamal. That is very key. Now, part two and three of the trivia has to do with the Bruins' opponent after the Ospreys. And that is the Knights. And these Knights are from a university called what?
Bellarmine.
Okay. So Bellarmine, the Bellarmine Knights. Okay.
Never heard of them.
Now, part two of that trivia question is, where the F are those guys from? I never heard of that school. It's very rare for me to hear
Indiana.
Of a school that I never ever heard of.
Indiana.
And I had never heard of this.
What do you think, Jamal? I'm not Googling. I'm saying Indiana.
Man, I'm cheating and I can't tell.
They are from...
They're somewhere in the South.
The proud city of Louisville in the fine state of Kentucky.
What? I'm close. Indiana. I mean, come on. I'm state away. I'm literally just one state away.
I was much more impressed with the Pelicans.
Makes sense now that they played Cincinnati and Louisville, since those are basically two Kentucky schools and they got blown out by both of them.
But that's where those schools are and where they're from and what their mascots are. And I have learned something today because I did not know that before today.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you, Jamal, for that. Now, you guys have any thoughts on these next two games? They should be... easy wins.
Blow them
hope
out.
For no injuries.
Yep.
Right?
Blow them out.
I want to see Miles Johnson.
Mikey, both these games are at Pauley?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No. Bellarmine's in Vegas.
Oh, Bellarmine's
in
Vegas.
Okay, right. Classic.
So, okay.
That's
so.
Game one of the classic.
Gotcha.
If you can get 100 on Cal State Long Beach, you better get 100 on these two teams. That's all.
How did...
I don't, you know, for this, I don't even want them to be... Okay, so UCLA is averaging...
So at the Classic, does everybody have patsies before they play the big game?
Yeah, I think I believe
awesome.
So. I don't know who Gonzaga's playing, but yeah, it's a gimme, I believe.
Right.
after three games, UCLA is averaging 93.7 points a game, and I think that's 25th in the nation. That's really freaking good. And I think any offense would want that, but just knowing Mick Cronin, obviously defense, going in that direction, I don't necessarily want UCLA to score 100 points. I want UCLA to keep their opponent under... 55.
I got
for,
you.
For both
Howland Jr.
Gonzaga plays.
Well, that's the point. I mean, like, honestly, you keep a team, you know, no matter, you know, what skill level, under 55 points.
It's
while
fun.
Scoring more than them.
Gonzaga plays the Knights as well, so we will have a common opponent
but
to compare.
But it doesn't look like it's at the same venue at the Good Empire Classic, because their classic opponent is Central Michigan.
Yeah, the Chippewas.
Right.
Yeah, no, they what are the odds of that? The Bellarmine Knights are going up to Spokane to play. I never even, this school just get founded? I mean, seriously, like, this is insane. I don't know, whatever. So anyways, we'll have a common opponent for them to look at and, you know, maybe compare the first 5 minutes of both games.
So who gets to 100 against Bellarmine should be the...
The quickest.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, they get to it by minute 23. Okay, there we go. You know, that's what we're looking at. But looking ahead to the game against Gonzaga, rematch mm-hmm. of the CLB tournament, mm-hmm. that epic game with that epic buzzer beater, you know, yeah, Timmy out there being all, hateable and all that stuff. You know, I kind of like Timmy. You know, now they have this big, tall, like 7'9" guy, right? I think he's 7'2", but he weighs like 100 pounds, right?
He does. It's like 150, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we're hoping that Miles Johnson gets out there and he's only 6'10", but he should be able to theoretically, you know, punk a guy like that. And then, you know, Timmy's going to be, you know, the rascal that he is, of a hateable villain. He's fun to watch.
Chet Holmgren, averaging 9 points, yeah. 8 rebounds.
So, but I mean, this is where the Bruins size. I mean, it sucks they don't have Riley, right?
You see the benefit of Riley is undersized, but you see the benefit of his offensive polish. Right mm-hmm. now, you really do.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
So anyway. But that's going to be a huge part of this game, I think. What else are you guys worried about?
Well, then they're going to have to hit shots from the outside to pull out Timmy, to pull out Holmgren, and then attack the inside. And kind of like they're going to have to do what Villanova was doing before UCLA kind of started getting hot from the outside themselves. Because if they can do that, I think they'll be effective. Because that's what they did in the tournament. They yeah. were hitting the outside shots. And then and pulling out those guys and then trying to get to the inside.
And that's where I think Miles Johnson will be effective, because you're going to have Timmy try to do what he does. And you're going to have this guy, this huge guy with a hand in his face. You know, he's going to be bodying him up. And, you know, not only was he the defensive player, I think it was a defensive player of the year last year in the Big Ten. But, I mean, he also comes from the Big Ten, where they play, you know, really bruising basketball. That's what Ben Hellen came from. That's what he did. That's what Mick Cronin wants to do. So I think that is going to slide a little bit more in UCLA's favor. The thing is, well, here, you know what? I forgot to say this earlier. You know, Johnson didn't have a lot of statistics, but what I did notice is he affected a lot of shots. Guys would try to go in, and he would put his hands straight up, and they would have to alter their shot or pass it off. That is something that doesn't come up in the stat sheet, which I think will be huge against Gonzaga or teams.
I'm hoping so too.
With huge post players, effective post players. Because I think, you know, against smaller guys, yeah, Johnson's going to get burned, you know, until, like, he learns, you know, the defense, the rotations. But for the most part, I think that helps UCLA.
But he's got a big challenge coming up, because you with Timmy and Holmgren, they're averaging together, yeah, you know, yeah. over, like, 13 rebounds a game. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Timmy's one of the best players in the country.
Yeah.
And he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, that's going to be a big, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup. Now,
stay out of foul trouble.
Does Nuba come in this game? Are they
yes.
using? Yeah. So
and he's obviously, we've seen Nuba. You know, we all love him, but he's not going to put up 10 points. He's not going to grab 10 rebounds. He's going to be in there to fill some spots. Hopefully, get a few rebounds. Hopefully, help out statistically. But for the most part, Nuba is going to be, he's going to be there to give Johnson a break. Now, I don't know, you know it. I don't think he'll play, but this would be a good time for, you know, if the MCL sprain wasn't that bad, we don't know to the degree to how bad it was for Cody Riley. If he can by chance play in that game, I think that's going to help him out a lot more. Because obviously you have another body, especially one that's experienced, that's going to help out. And that's the thing that sucks. You lose Riley and Etienne, just two big guys, and boom. Out. So you have to figure out what to do. Do we go? Are we going to go Johnson, Nuba, Clark? Are we going to, you know?
I'm going to miss Mac 10.
Yeah. Mac 10. Man.
Yeah.
Got to get some St. Antoine up in here, too.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah.
I'll pour some for you.
I was going to say, I think this is one of those games where if Jaime Jaquez is tenacious on the boards like he was against Villanova, I think that's going to go a long way to helping neutralize Timmy and Holmgren. But also, I think there's a chance for Watson to step up, maybe use some of that athleticism to make some plays, kind of like he did in the beginning of the Villanova game. But we'll see, because that goes to what you were saying about having guys who are experienced, not letting the bright lights get to them in these kind of games.
And I think the big stage, that brings a little bit out of everybody as well. So I think we're going to have a really good game.
And here's the other thing to think about, too, is that this is not a one-off for Gonzaga. They have back-to-back UCLA and then Duke. So you got a one or two. Like, there's no like looking ahead, you know, past the Bruins or anything like that. But this is a pretty big stretch for the Zags too. They're going to be very, very interested in getting this win against the Bruins because they kind of don't want to be like UCLA was with Villanova. Drop that game and now be looking at like 0-2 versus the top 25. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So desperation level, you wonder if UCLA's already got that one in their back pocket, and then will they be coming out with their hair on fire like the Zags will maybe? But then again, this is a revenge game. Can the Bruins get revenge for that tournament? Here's another fun stat. The win predictor for ESPN has the Bruins and the Zags almost dead even on this. 51% for the Zags, 49% for the Bruins. But, like I just said, they have a common opponent. Against the Bellarmine
Knights,
Bellarmine Knights. What do you think the win predictor is for the Bruins against the Bellarmine Knights, guys?
97%.
No, Mike, you overshot it. Did go over. You don't win the Showcase Showdown.
That's what I do.
They're only a 94.5% favorite against Bellarmine.
Gonzaga or UCLA?
UCLA.
Over. UCLA. What is Gonzaga versus Bellarmine?
95.
Bruins are 94.4.
So Gonzaga should be about 96.5?
98.4. So, that's, I mean, that's weird. Fine. You don't see a lot of win predictors where it's like less than 2% chance or less than 5% chance. So that's fun. All right. Guys, you have anything else to say about men's basketball before we shut up and go to what I want to talk about, which is football?
You want to talk about
after we do ours. You know, yeah.
Shut down part one, Jake. Shut it down. Let's do part two.
I think that's probably what we're looking at. I think this is going to be part one. Is going to end here, and we'll come back strong with some Colorado win talk and some USC rivalry week talk after that, and then Bill's favorite part of the show after that. But until next time, Bill, which by next time I mean 5 minutes from now, what do we say, Mr. Crunchy Pita fucker?
Go Bruins!
Indeed.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Dude, Rob, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.